This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Good to be with you on this Sunday morning, and good to be joined right out of the gate by someone who was back pitching at Busch Stadium on Friday. Adam Wainwright is with us. Good morning, Waino. It's great to kick off this St. Louis tradition with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. The Savannah Bananas had you out on the field on Friday. You're broadcasting on Saturday. You're part of the country music scene. You're everywhere, and I appreciate you taking some time with us. Tell me about Friday. Before we get in, I'm going to ask you a couple of Cardinals questions because everybody loves to turn to Waino for a little bit of a lift here. But first and foremost, the buzz in the crowd in that packed house on Friday when they kind of realized that you were coming must have been amazing for you to hear.
It was, man. I'll tell you. It was a special night. My wife and my oldest daughter got to be there with me as well. They'll never forget that either. But, you know, what a cool thing they're doing. The Savannah Bananas have figured out marketing. They figured out fan interaction levels that I've never seen before. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a WWE fight mixed with baseball, mixed with, like, the circus mix. I mean, it was crazy. You know, it's just a wild show, but it really is a show. And those guys are talented. You know, most of them, I think 85% of them played professional baseball at some level or came out of D1 college if they didn't. And, you know, they're talented baseball players, but they're entertainers. And they put on quite a show, man. And I was exhausted just watching them the first three innings. I'm like, oh my goodness, man, this is nonstop. But, you know, when I talked to Jesse Cole, the owner, before the games, and we were standing out on the field, and he looked up at, like, the very top of the upper deck. He's like, you know what I'm looking at in a big giant stadium like this is I'm wondering, how do I get players up there And then get them back down in time to play. And how do I get them up there? And how do I get, you know, interaction here and here? And the whole thing is about fan engagement. And they've mastered it. It's really awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. I have not attended one in person yet, but of course they've become a sensation on social media. And now they grow, they sell out wherever they go. I got to think they're coming back big time. I mean, St. Louis was all over that. And I got to think at some point you'll probably bring yourself back to becoming a Savannah Banana, the Georgia native himself, Adam Wainwright.
Well, I had a blast doing it, and they're so welcoming, and the players are just man, they're so gracious, and they're so they're just amazing people, and they love making people smile. And that's what they're out there for. You know, those guys are, they're not getting paid like big league athletes. They're playing out there because they love the game and they love making people happy. And that's what they're doing. And they love entertaining. You know, what's funny, I'll tell you a quick story in March, where the game was supposed to be played in March. And when I got done playing, I took a year off from pretty much everything. Like, I didn't play golf. I didn't work out. I had my arm in a sling for, you know, a couple of months. I had shoulder surgery and I was doing other things, playing music. I was gardening, I was farming, all kinds of stuff. But I wasn't working out at all. And so, Bananas asked me to join them in March. And I took a couple months to get back in shape. Cause I wanted to, I'm like, all right, I don't want to embarrass myself. Let me get out there and, you know, do well. And I started throwing bullpens and I was throwing bullets. I was doing better than I have in years. And I partially tore my rotator cuff getting ready on one of my bullpen sessions. And so what you saw the other night was me re-injuring it in warm-ups. I thought I'd scarred it over enough to be okay. But what you saw the other night was me going about half speed, little sidewinder action, you know, flipping some slow curves in there. Those guys aren't used to seeing 55-mile-an-hour curveballs. But it was so fun, man. I'll never forget it. It was just a great time.
It was my daughter who told me that we were on a plane coming back from San Diego, and we landed, and she goes, Dad, and she showed me her phone, and it was you going out on the field. She broke the news to me. Such a neat thing. How long did you spend? Were you in the Cardinals clubhouse? Were you down in that area?
I was up in they kind of hid me up in this donor suite, kind of above the third baseline, and they had me kind of tucked back in there, and then they kind of snuck me back in the back, like behind everything, ran me through the tunnel real quick, and they wanted to keep it a secret so bad, just so that reaction would be, you know, authentic. And I'll tell you, walking out on the field when Jesse was saying, you know, like, you know, former player, 3 times or whatever he was saying, World Series champ, the crowd started getting a buzz of like what was about to happen. And I'll tell you, man, that's a feeling as special as it gets for a former player and somebody who holds St. Louis in such high regard as I do. It's like home for us and our family and the organization that I just love so much and means so much to me, and fan base that means so much to me, city that means so much to me, to get that kind of response was man, it just, you know, makes you almost cry out there. It's just really special.
I played in a pro-am once with David Freeze, not to name drop, but Freeze told me that he was nervous, and I'm like, really? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm nervous to play in this. I haven't played in front of a crowd since I retired. And he said, and I miss it. I miss the feeling of waking up and being nervous to go out and perform. Now, you're broadcasting, so you're in front of an audience, and you're playing music, but there is something to be said about that, isn't there, as a former player?
Yeah, it's a buzz, you know. If you're a hunter, it's when you see that buck walk out of the woods and you get your heart starts racing. If you're a fisherman, it's when you tie into one of those big, giant, stinking lunkers. And if you're a golfer, it's when you step on the first tee of Oakmont or, you know, some incredibly prestigious course. That's what it's like every time when you get out onto the field, when you really learn to appreciate it. You know, sometimes we take for granted the things that we get to do at that level. But when you really take time to appreciate what we get to do, what we got to do for a long time for a profession, playing in front of sold out crowds and incredible stadiums and fields that we've been watching since our, you know, we were 3 years old. It really is kind of remarkable and such a blessing that we get to live that out.
I see that a week from today, you are playing at the Factory in a concert to benefit Big League Impact. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is going to be our first ever concert to benefit Big League Impact, our charity that I started back in 2013. And I'll just be very honest. We need people to start signing up. It's always St. Louis has gotten behind everything I've ever done charity-wise in the city. They are a little slower to sign up, but they sign up better than every city. And it's time for us to get this concert going. I can't wait to get home and practice. I had a Cubs Red Sox broadcast last night at Wrigley Field. These Cubs are tough, by the way, but we're spending the day in Chicago, and then I'm going to get back and practice all week and get back up to St. Louis and hopefully put on a great show. We got some great people joining us. Austin Bohannon is joining us, a up and coming country music star. And, you know, we have Joanna Cotter, who's been a longtime member of the Eric Church Band, joining us, and she is amazing. So we love, and then I've got my full band out there. We're going to be putting on a show, and I just can't wait to get out there and perform. But just at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're raising money for people in need, and we're raising money for food, water, shelter programs around the city, around the globe, and we just need some help. So thanks for letting me talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I asked you to come on, and I saw that a week from today you're going to be playing. Again, it's from 5:30 to 10 at the Factory, bigleagueimpact.org, to get tickets to that concert and see Waino. That's a neat thing. I've seen Waino play multiple times. He's really, really good. Waino, you are one of the best pitchers in Cardinals history, and you would know this situation as well as anyone, that if you're not pitching well, if your starters can't do the job, it really weighs on the team. You don't want to put it on one person ever when you're talking about a team. But if the Cardinals' rotation, which right now it's just not firing on all cylinders, is not working, it's just not going to work.
Well, that's true of any team, you know, and that's it all starts with your starting pitchers. It's starting pitchers, they work one out every 5 days, and I was in the minor leagues. I remember my roommate, Kelly Johnson, who played in the big leagues for a long time. Kelly said, why is it that the starting pitcher gets so much hoopla about them? You know, why do we have to avoid y'all during your day to pitch? And why can't we talk to you? Why can't you play cards and all this kind of stuff? And everybody's different. That's just the way I was. But, I said, Kelly, and he came to appreciate this a couple games into the season. I said, the only player on the field that can lose a game in the first 5 minutes is a starting pitcher. You go out there and you lay an egg in the first inning and give up four or five runs. It's really hard to come back from that. I said, so, you know, you just need your starting pitcher to go out there and be on whatever it is, to have him be the most focused and prepared that he can possibly be. Get out of his way, or talk to him, or play cards, or don't play cards, whatever it is. He's high maintenance that day. That's fine. Get out of his way. And that's true. I mean, of any team, starting pitchers are the most important person on the field because of that. I'm a little biased, but, you know, you have a catcher who manages the pitching staff. You have a shortstop that's in charge of, you know, controlling the infield, and the center fielder controlling the outfield. But the starting pitcher is where it all starts and ends right there. And I'll tell you that for a long stretch this season, the starting pitchers, I would say, overperformed what we thought they were going to be able to do going into the season. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, and those guys were doing great. I mean, earlier on this year, Fetty threw a complete game, 9 innings, shutout. Sonny threw the second greatest game of all time in history of the Cardinals' great franchise. I mean, 9 innings, no one hit, 11 strikeouts and 89 pitches, the second highest game score ever. That's crazy when you think about the great games that have been pitched there. We've seen Pallante pitch last year. He pitched at a level that was outstanding. I was kind of hoping he would back that up and take the next step. It's a long answer, but what I'm saying is there's ups and downs. You want to see Fetty can, you know, be like he was earlier in the year. He's had a tough stretch. Miles has had a tough stretch, but Miles was going really good there in the middle of the season. So I don't know, man. I'm hoping they get it turned around because I love those guys. They're good friends of mine, but they can perform better. They know that. And you know, the last game that Sonny had is unfortunate, but he's had a great year. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do at the trade deadline because I don't really have any idea which way they're going to go with it. I don't think really anybody does.
Yeah, that was my last thing for you, is just kind of your feel for that. I mean, you are friends with John Mozeliak. You guys know each other well. You know him well. And you know that this is coming to the end for him as president of baseball operations. But there's also a buzz, and rightfully so, about Chaim Bloom and what he's accomplished. It sounds like the two are collaborating well and are looking ahead at 26. While there was a bit of a surprise there that they contended for as long as they did in 25. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm just saying this is about building this thing so it never gets broken again.
Yeah, and that's the way it's always been. You know, we've always had a chance. Going into spring training, you always thought, you know what, we could win the World Series this year. And I would say for maybe the last couple of years, that's really not what everybody's expectations in the city have been. And that's probably a foreign feeling to a Cardinal fan. That's a foreign feeling to me, for sure. Going into this season, I thought, okay, I think they're going to compete. I don't know. When I look around the league, I mean, you look at the Dodgers, you look at the Phillies, you look at the Mets, the teams that have really spent a lot of money on the marquee players. It's hard to say that you can compete with those guys unless you go out and do something, or unless you develop your players really, really well in the minor leagues. And our system was a few years behind, seemingly, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do at the break, because you could see them trade 3, 4, 5 players, and you could see them trade one or two and try to make a go of it. I always go back. We were 10.5 games back in September on, what, September 1st, 2011, 10.5 games back. But we had the right guys on the team to make that work. So being right now, what are they, 7.5 back? Is that something like that?
8.5 in the division, yeah.
8.5 in the division, but only 3.5 in the wild card. Is that right?
2.5, yeah.
2.5. So you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. We saw Arizona go all the way to the World Series 2 years ago. I mean, you just never, ever know if you get hot at the right time. Can this team get hot? Yeah, this team's proven this year they can get hot. They can win a lot of games. So I think if they want to compete, they're going to have to move a couple of people and bring some people in. I do think that. I just don't know if that's what the plan is. It's hard to know. I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's still 11 days to figure it out. It's July 20th, and a week from today, July 27th, Adam Wainwright, let's give that site out again, bigleagueimpact.org. You can grab tickets to the Big League Bash, as Adam Wainwright and friends will be at the Factory in Chesterfield. My man, it's great to hear your voice as always. Thank you for joining us on KMOX. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate you too. Yeah, we'll see you next Sunday at the Factory, Chesterfield. Can't wait to be there.
There he is, St. Louis Cardinals legend, Savannah Bananas legend, Adam Wainwright with us on KMOX. Good to be with him. When we come back, we'll talk golf. It's the Open Championship. It is underway, and Scottie Scheffler's lead is not as huge as it was about an hour ago. We'll keep an eye on that. There's an up-and-comer who is making a run at Scheffler, who has a 4-shot lead at the Open Championship. We'll be back on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. Again, thanks to Adam Wainwright for joining us to lead off the show. Scottie Scheffler is trying to put on a show at the Open Championship. He has a 4-shot lead as he is on the 9th hole, 15 under for the championship. A 4-shot lead. Rory McIlroy is in a group of 4-plus players, looks like 4, who are 10 under. But there's another name who has popped up and making a little run at Scheffler. And joining us is KMOX senior golf editor Dan Reardon, who is watching it all. Hello, Dan.
Chris Goderup, who won the Scottish Open a week ago, sort of a breakthrough win for him, is now 11 under and Scheffler doubled the eighth hole, and he is 15 under. So we have at least a little bit of a contest going on.
We have a little Red River rivalry, shall we say, with the Texas Longhorn Scheffler being chased by, I believe, an Oklahoma Sooner in Chris Gotterup. So we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, Scheffler's just so good, Dan. I just don't see him losing when he's up that big. He doesn't lose when he has a 54-hole lead. And just because he's so steady. I mean, all you really have to do if you're Scotty Scheffler is play Scotty Scheffler golf. Nothing crazy. Just make pars.
And keep in mind that Scheffler is the best in the game of bouncing back from a bogey. So we'll see what he does at nine. He hit a really wonderful tee shot at nine. You know, I've been tracking Scheffler, as many people have, for a long, long time. And I go through and read the transcripts of the interviews at his various tournaments. And I probably have gone through 100 Scotty Scheffler transcripts. And everybody in the room tries to find a way to get behind the curtain to see who the real Scotty is, to get him talking about things that he just has no interest in. And we saw a little bit of that curtain drop this week when Doug Ferguson asked him a question, and Scheffler sort of laid out his philosophy of life. And we find out the guy behind the curtain is the guy in front of the curtain. I mean, he's just, that's who he is. You know, the easiest way for me to describe Scotty Scheffler is to say, look at the way he dresses when he shows up at a golf tournament. He's got a polo and a pair of pants, and he's dressed in business casual. And that's who Scotty Scheffler is as a golfer. He's business casual. He plays golf to win tournaments. All the rest of it, as much as we want him to care about it, he just doesn't focus on that.
Yeah, he made that very clear, didn't he, Dan, this week when he said in so many words that golf isn't everything. That is not what fulfills him as a person. Not that he is saying, you know, there's no point to all of this, but he did make a point in speaking about it in that way.
Yeah, in fact, he was very defensive that they would not take it the wrong way to have him say that. He says, I love golf. I love what I'm doing. It's the luckiest thing in the world. I couldn't dream that I could have had any better life than I have in golf the way it is. But he said, the fact of the matter is that, you know, winning lasts for about 2 minutes, and then I have to go out and play again. And, you know, the other thing he has said recently, and I've always thought was true, he's asked about being number one, and he's been number one for now a really long time. He's in Tiger territory in terms of how many months, years he's been at number one. He's asked about that often. And what he says is, I'm proud of the accomplishment, but I play to win golf tournaments. I don't play to be number one in the world. I mean, that's what that's the way he approaches his business. And his business is golf. Years ago, Hale Irwin's wife, Sally, told me, when Hale is at the golf course, he thinks he's at the office. And I think the same is true of Scheffler. He's at the office, and he just enjoys being at that office.
I mean, this is a guy who got arrested and then shot, what, one under that day, didn't he? Something like that?
Not only that, but when he was in the jail cell, he was going through a stretching exercise, getting ready to go out and play. If anything should, and it did rattle him eventually, and it stayed with him for a while. But I think it's a lesson, you know, Scotty's level of excitement, celebration, is so muted that he doesn't fit into today's world. He is a golf photographer's nightmare, because you're not going to get that look, stare at the sky and scream in jubilation. There's no great fist pumps. He gave a couple when he saved a bogey recently. He just keeps going. I got a chance to know Annika Sorenstam pretty well over the years. And Annika was that way. I said Annika played golf with amnesia. No matter what happened on a hole, whether she birdied or doubled, she was on the next tee and she was just playing golf. And there are very few people in golf, and there are very few people in sports who play their sport that way. I'm reminded I was a young man that loved to watch Stan Musial play. And I know it's a different time. I don't think there was ever a time that you would say that Musial hot-dogged on any of the things he had done in his great, great career. And I think there's a place in sports for those kinds of people even today. Who is the pro football player that one time told a teammate, when you get in the end zone, act like you've been there before? Scotty has been there before.
Now, that's a good point. Dan Reardon, KMOX golf editor, with us right here. And you know, that said, Rory McIlroy is one of the greatest players of his generation, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. You can tell if he likes something or doesn't like it in about 2 seconds. And Tiger Woods was laser-focused and emotional when he made a big putt, when things didn't go his way. But back to McIlroy, what a scene that was yesterday. My goodness. I mean, the 55-foot eagle and the place erupting, the shot that he had out of that, whatever that was, that rough patch, that hill, and then a ball popped up from underneath his ball. I mean, it just seems like Rory's always wrapped in the middle of it.
You know what that eagle at 12 reminded me of, Tom? It reminded me of Vern Lundquist and the call on Tiger at 16 at the Masters. And I can tell you, having been to Ryder Cups and having been to, 130 majors, the roars we were hearing yesterday for Rory were Ryder Cup roars. They had that level of intensity. They weren't just loud. They were passionate. And then to watch that ball trickle down off of that slope and work its way gradually into the hole. And I could just picture Vern making that call.
Oh, absolutely. McIlroy trying to make a charge here. And I heard on the NBC broadcast that they were chirping Scotty a little bit. Good natured. But the fans there were letting him know Rory's coming. It isn't over yet. Rory's coming. But it is nice to see Rory happy, competing. And actually, it feels like when I hear his interviews, Dan, that Rory is in a good place. I know that he was trying to get himself motivated after winning the Masters, but now this is like a celebration tour for him. He doesn't have to he's putting pressure on himself to win, but he doesn't have to have anything hanging over him anymore.
And by the way, Scheffler did birdie coming off of the double. And to give you the comment, Rory says, what's next? What's next is the Ryder Cup. That's the way Rory is motivating himself. He pumped himself up to get to Ireland and to play Royal Port Rush. And now he's looking to Bethpage. And, you know, I tweeted yesterday, if there was a way to do it, if Keegan Bradley and Luke Donald could get together, what everybody in golf wants to see is on the final day of the Ryder Cup in the singles, we want to see Scheffler and McIlroy playing against each other. The ratings would be through the ceiling just for that pairing.
We have Belrive member Jim Brennan in studio with us, and I can tell you the 2018 PGA Championship, that place absolutely rocked, but there was a different level of vitriol and kind of, I thought, inappropriate remarks coming from the crowd at Bethpage as I walked with the groups at the PGA Championship there the following year. It's just a different kind of crowd. The Belrive crowd was boisterous, but also respectful, fun, jam-packed. Bethpage is a different level. It's New York, which makes it the greatest home field advantage in Ryder Cup history, I would say, Dan.
And I think they have a good young captain in Keegan Bradley, and I hope that he does not play, even though he's entitled to play. And one quick thought on that, on the galleries, Tom. I think we're sitting on the edge of a very dangerous situation in golf, more so than any sports. You know, there was literally a betting parlor available at the PGA Championship where you could go in and place bets. And, of course, people can do that on their phones, and they can make prop bets. And the potential is out there that a fan who has a big bet on the line might rise up and yell in the middle of a backswing just to disrupt the player and affect the outcome and maybe win the bet. We saw that actually take place at the celebrity event in Tahoe a couple of years ago, I think, with Steph Curry. And I think golf has, like I said, a thin edge to deal with. It'll never happen at the Masters because you can't bring your phone in at the Masters. But I think the potential when we get to the Ryder Cup at Bethpage is something like that could take place.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. What about moving forward into next year? Because we are going to talk to Jim here in a little bit about something that he's involved in to raise thousands and thousands of dollars for charity. That is on the way. But next year is the BMW Championship at Belrive. What are you hearing about that, Dan, in terms of momentum? Now, I hear that Gary Player is going to be presented at the press event for the Stiefel Charity Classic. This also happens to be the 60th anniversary of his U.S. Open title at Belrive in 1965. Belrive Country Club back at it again, Dan, in 2026 and 30.
And sitting on a pot of gold, I think, in the sense of where the game of golf is now and where it's headed. Because you do have the Ryder Cup leading into next year. And then you have Scheffler with apparently going to be going for a Grand Slam when he gets to the U.S. Open. There's so many things on the horizon. And, you know, even to the if they could just get a couple of players back from LIV, John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau, to play on this tour, I think they'd be in a perfect world. You know, DeChambeau shot 64 today. He went from 78 on the opening round to probably finishing in the top 10. Like I said, Belle-Reeve is positioned at that point on the calendar where it's a pot of gold. And St. Louis will turn out for that kind of event, and they will provide the kind of emotion that golfers love.
The FedEx Cup standings, when I look at them, how many go, Dan, to the BMW?
The 30 players go to BMW. Right.
Top 30.
They're the last event before they go to Atlanta. They go to Memphis, and then they come to St. Louis, and they go to Atlanta.
So just so people understand, if it was this year, here's what your projected standings are. Scheffler, McIlroy, Straka, Henley, Justin Thomas, Ben Griffin, J.J. Spaun, Harris English, Tommy Fleetwood, Keegan Bradley. That's the top 10. And then it goes McNealy, Connors, Novak, Oberg, Taylor, Lowry, Morikawa, Harmon, McIntyre, and Matsuyama. That's a pretty good 20 there. The last 10, let me see if I can find that, would be Cantlay, Burns, Rose, Hovland, Glover, Berger, Girard, M, and Fox. So some big names in there and potentially some others. Shoffley's 40 right now, so he's got some work to do to get back. But it is going to be, I always get a little more excited talking about these majors when I know that the big dogs are coming to St. Louis the following year.
And Tom, after every major report I've done this year, after every major panel I've done for KMOX, I've always mentioned to people that I've talked to, they'll be here next year. That's something you just can't count on. But thanks to Belle-Reeve, we can.
We can count on you, though. We appreciate you, Dan. Thanks so much for all that you do for us and reporting on what you're seeing here on the Open Championship as we continue to follow Scottie Scheffler's ride to a fourth major championship.
Enjoyed it, Tom.
Thank you. Dan Reardon with us on KMOXC is our senior golf editor. When we come back, again, Jim Brennan, he can play some golf. He is a great ambassador for Belle-Reeve, but also for the Gervais Syndrome Foundation. We'll talk some golf, life, and the charity event coming up for Jim Brennan and his great group. With Dan Reardon, with Adam Wainwright, I'm Tom Ackerman. Coming up next hour, Lutz Fan and Steel. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star talks some Big Ten football with us, and Bernie Miklas. Big show today. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We'll be right back.
From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Continuing to monitor the Open Championship at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, Scottie Scheffler is your leader right now with a number of players trying to chase him down. But Scheffler, the three-time major champion, he has won two Masters. He has won one PGA Championship. That was this year. And he has just delivered, once again, a tremendous shot. He is something else. He had a double bogey, then a birdie, and then he just, from 186 yards away, hit one on the back right fringe that rolled its way back towards the cup and probably a 10-footer that he can knock in for another birdie. He is a piece of work, and he is rolling it as we speak, and dropped it. I mean, he is unbelievable. Wow. Scottie Scheffler is going to win this thing unless there's a monumental collapse. So it is amazing to see right now Scheffler and what he is accomplishing at this Open Championship. This is the 153rd, and Scheffler is putting on a show. NBC Sports showing a little highlight reel of what he has accomplished thus far. It is amazing to see. Joining us is Jim Brennan, president of McKelvey Homes, one of our fine partners and sponsors. Member of Belle-Reeve is going to see Scottie Scheffler hit that little white ball around at the corner of Ledoux and Mason next year.
Can't wait, Tom. Just over a year ago, they'll be teeing it up.
Yeah, they will. The BMW Championship. There's a lot that goes on to get into that. A lot of preparations. We were part of the PGA Championship here is the radio partner with PGA, and it was an incredible thrill ride from start to finish for us. I think it was about a two-year relationship we had with the golf course and with the PGA of America. It was really special, and you still hear the buzz about everything that happened on those days, that entire week.
It is really exciting. In fact, I had a couple guests from Crooked Stick play with me yesterday afternoon, and they were remarking about the PGA Championship and the run that Tiger made on Saturday and how exciting that was.
Yeah, there was a buzz in the air for sure to have the greatest player in the world and, you know, on one hand ever, playing around your golf course, and then the President's Cup in 2030. You have a lot of great things to tell us about what you've been up to, aside from playing golf like a madman. I can't wait to get out on the course. I haven't played. I'm going to play in the Kaufman Fund.
We got to fix that.
Tom. I've just been between graduation and, you know, work and all these things going on. There's been a lot going on, but I'm excited about getting out there and playing. But you also have a big heart. And, you know, one of the things I respect about you outside of our business relationship together, we were friends before you ever started this big advertising campaign on KMOX, but that you give back to the community. And I want to start with that, and then we'll get into Gervais Syndrome Foundation. But the fact that you donate $18.98 every time you sell a home at McKelvey back to a charity, I know you just delivered something pretty big to Circle of Concern.
Right, Circle of Concern. And some of Rose's friends are involved in it as volunteers, and we were not aware of it. We went on a tour a few months ago, and they service over 700 families that are needing help. It's like a grocery store. I used to work at Schmidt's Market when I was in high school, and they have all kind of produce and meats. And one of the highlights for us there, there's a little shelf, not a little shelf, but it's up to the ceiling with birthday gifts. And there's a lady named Bobby, and every one of these children up to the age of 12, she gives them multiple birthday presents. And it's really special, helping those in need. And, you know, I know where you're headed, Tom. You know, why do we do this? My dad was one of seven. He had six brothers. And his father died at an early age when my dad was two. And I remember talking to my dad before he passed away 26 years ago. And I said, how'd you ever do it? Grandma worked odd jobs. And he said, Jimmy, we had a lot of help. And he never turned anyone down on a favor. That's how he lived his life. He was a mailman in South St. Louis, but he always had time for someone else helping out. Kind of like you. I mean, you're the busiest guy around. I've tried to get you out for golf. I don't know how many times. Now I got to do this. I got to do that. And you're so generous with your time and helping us with this fundraiser that we started 7 years ago. I got to compliment you on being honored by the Business Journal, not once, but twice this year.
Appreciate
for your work with philanthropy. And we were really proud to win the award. The Brennan family started this 7 years ago when our grandniece, my sister Pat, her daughter, or her son Andrew, had a little girl and his wife Kim named Anna. And she's going to be eight in September. And she was diagnosed with this very rare form of epilepsy called Dravet syndrome. And so we're really trying to work hard to raise the funds and raise awareness to help find a cure. From day one, you've been our MC, and I tell you, I did a lot of work with Cardinal Glennon and Bob Costas, and you are like a Bob Costas clone. Mm-hmm. All the work you do for the community, you're a professional in sports, but you handle all these other things, and we're so honored to have you do it for our 7th annual Dance for Dravet, which is coming up here on September 26th.
Well, thank you for that. I actually just toured the Costas Center at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital, which you're also involved in, and what an incredible job they do there for these kids and for our community.
It's amazing the care and the quality of Cardinal Glennon right here in St. Louis. And St. Louisans are so generous supporting all the many causes we have. You talk about Belle Reve, the crowds that came out. The guys yesterday were saying, why does a PGA like Belle Reve? Well, they're making it even tougher, Tom. I know you like to play those back tees.
So, yeah, right.
Just where do you get that 550 par four?
Yeah, 18 handicap at best over here. I'm the type of golfer that likes to break 90. I just say I'm good enough to hang. I'm good enough to hang. I'm just not, you know, I'm not a great player. I'm not good off the tee. I think I'm a good putter. And that's what's kept me in it.
Just like Scotty.
I'm a decent iron player, especially 150 in. I'm a terrible chipper. I always have been. I don't know why that is. I get lucky on some chips, but I'm a really good putter. So if I'm off the green, I am putting.
Just need to get you over there with Mike Tucker on Tucker's Trail for your short game.
Yeah, I just want to work on that a little
bit. We'll get the king to help you with that.
But, you know, you have some great golf experiences that you've auctioned off in the past. You've had some great sports experiences you've auctioned off in the past for the Dravet Syndrome Foundation Dance for Dravet event, which this year is a little earlier. It's going to be the end of September. The Third Degree Glass Factory has been your venue for that for a number of years. We're coming up on 2 months out, if I'm not mistaken, and that is the truth. It is September 26th, September 26th, that night. So the Cardinals will play the Cubs that day, and then you can get all cleaned up there at Wrigley Field that day. And then after you watch the game or listen to it on KMOX, you get yourself all gussied up and head on down.
It really is a fun. I have people tell me all the time. We've had over 400 people there. They like it. They like the entertainment with you. You keep it interesting and move it along. It's a family affair. Our nephew Doug Auer has a Third Degree Glass Factory. My brother Tim does the food with Cravings. My sister Barbara, whose birthday actually is today, and I want to announce this nationally that Barbara is one of my top five favorite sisters, Tom. She does the flowers with Mary and with others, and Patsy does the silent auction, and her husband Ted is very active. He's got his presidency of the Dravet Syndrome Foundation, and there's progress being made. Last year, Dravet had a record with $1.4 million in research dollars granted, including Wash U. And earlier this year, when we were honored with the Innovation Award with the St. Louis Business Journal for the Dance for Dravet, Pat and Ted came in town for the award, and we met with the researchers at Wash U. Those are some pretty smart people there, Tom. The work that they do to help find a cure. And we're hopeful. Anna's gone through a rough spell. The first 6 years of her life, she had 700 seizures. But in the last 12 months, she's doubled that. She had another 700. So she just got selected for a new experimental treatment, and we're hopeful and praying that this will help ease her pain and have her live a more productive life. So we can't thank you enough. We are going to have some great prizes again. We've got golf again. There may even be something related to the BMW at Bellerive.
So. Ooh, right on topic. And you've raised about at least $500,000 in each of these, haven't you?
The early years, we were a couple hundred grand. But last year, we are the largest fundraiser for the foundation nationally. Last year, with your help, we raised, and the generous supporters, a lot from our home building industry, a lot from our family and friends. We raised $570,000 last year. We're trying to break through that 600. There's other groups now that, you know, peer pressure is great. There's a group over in the East Coast that has some kind of marlin. I think it's a yachting event. And they are trying to catch us, Tom. So the pressure's on you.
All right. Well, I'm always up for a challenge. So I'm looking forward to that. September 26th, Third Degree Glass Factory. Last thing, how is that place doing after the tornado
great.
Damage?
They're very resilient. You know, a few years ago, they had the flood. They had some tornado damage, and they've recovered quickly. So that's open already. And Doug and his team do an outstanding job. And for us, it's really the sponsorships, Tom. DanceForDravet.org. And Dravet is DRAVET. DanceForDravet.org. Or anybody can call me if they want to make a donation or be a sponsor. We've been blessed with so many generous sponsors like Montgomery Bank. Trey Kerr from Gateway Productions helps us with all the AV.
Oh, my gosh. And his facility is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. He's a rock star.
He's a total rock star. Wow. Dance for Dravet, September 26th, Third Degree Glass Factory. Looking forward to it. An evening of fun and fundraising, dinner, drinks, silent and live auctions. They have an incredible bar there, by the way.
They may even have some bourbon there. I don't know.
Yeah.
They may have a private Blanton stash there for you.
Oh, my goodness. Appreciate you. DanceForDravet.org.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you.
Jim Brennan with us. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll update you on the Open Championship. Lutz Fahnenstiel, 11:15. 11:30 is Zach Osterman talking some Big Ten football. Bernie Miklas, 11:45. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports, this is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
It was great to have Adam Wainwright last hour. Thanks to Waino for joining us. Really fun to talk to him, but also insightful getting his thoughts on the Cardinals and what they're dealing with right now. If you want to go back and listen to it, it was the lead of the show. I think that's probably convenient for those of you who watch us on the stream. So when we replay the stream, it'll just start right with Waino. That's nice. You don't have to scroll to the first guest, which I know some of you do. Well, I encourage you to. I give you the time of the start of each interview and that kind of thing. But Waino was really good. I appreciate him. Coming up, Lutz Fan and Steel in 9 minutes, the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. They dropped one last night, 3-0 at FC Dallas. Cardinals got trounced 10-1 at Arizona. We'll talk some Big Ten football at 11:30 with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. I know that's usually John Mozeliak's slot. He is traveling and unable to join us. He's not dodging us at all. He's on every week. He's just up in the air, so we're not able to get him. And then at 11:45, it's Bernie Miklas, who is always with us on Sports on a Sunday morning. I just think the Cardinals right now are, you know, broken. I mean, and they need to be. We talk about the word reset, rebuild, re-this, re-that. This is restructure. You know, you hear that one. This is rearrange to me. They need to rearrange what they are and who they are as a roster. Now we know that their minor league system is in the hands of Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio and Larry Day. That's good. Yeah, that's good. I think the Cardinals minor league system was once the envy of baseball, but that was a long, long time ago. Things have passed them by. The Cardinals did not put the resources into the minor league system. They didn't keep pouring resources into the minor league system, and therefore they missed out. They let it slide for a long time, and they got passed by better technology, better coaching, better instruction, better everything. So that now, I have to guess, is being fixed as the Heim Bloom era is underway. But the next part is this roster, which is not a winning roster. It doesn't have enough, and it actually has too many pieces. You know, you have like a million DHs on this team, and you have a decent bullpen coming and a lacking rotation. It just doesn't have the right arrangement. And so that's for the trade deadline to decide and for much more to come from Chaim Bloom and his team. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Cardinals and for KMOX. We are going to take you through every step of the way without question. This is not, I'm going right back to where I was at the start of the year after I saw this team in April. I just wanted to take a step back from trying to get into the standings and all that stuff and say, this is what it's about. 2026 Cardinals and beyond. We got to see what this team has, who's going to play for them moving forward. Now we're starting to get some of those answers, but this is where we need to find out now. What does this team look like in the coming years? We've already seen some Chaim Bloom influence. Those draft picks, whew, man, starting with Liam Doyle, that guy does not mess around. Tanner Franklin does not mess around. Two Tennessee Volunteers who bring it. And hard throwers, fiery personality in Doyle. I like it. That's what I'm talking about. More power arms, more swing and miss. Just got to change it. It's not a good baseball team for the playoffs. It's a team that I think overachieved. And Ollie's doing what he can with the roster. You bang on Ollie all you want. Some of you aren't. Some of you are. I don't care. I'm going to keep saying it. Ollie was given a roster. He's managing it. And now we're starting to see in July what happens when you don't have enough pieces. Think players are starting to get injured. Rotation's running out of gas and talent is fading from the rotation. It's just it's not a good situation. Will they go to the playoffs in 26 is not what I'm saying. I'm saying in 26 you're going to see a different look. At least that's the hope. A dramatically different look. I don't know, but a different look. And then in 27 and 28, by that point, they should be back to being National League royalty again. Because it's tough, man. It's tough to go to see an all-star game and love Brendan Donovan, but that's your rep. And, you know, Chad just asked, how did Bloom impact the draft? I assure you, Bloom impacts the draft, okay? He's the president of baseball operations starting November 1st. So Flores does the scouting. Flores makes the pick. There's no question that they get direction from Chaim Bloom as the man in waiting. He's not running the show. He is, you know, he's already there. He's been part of the team for, this is now his third season, basically. He was a pair of eyes at the tail end of 23. He was there with them all through 24 and now all through 25. Let's do this. Take a break. Oh, let me go update you on the Open. It's Scotty Scheffler is going to win it. He's five shots up. He is 16 under. Harris English is 11 under along with a group there. Scheffler going for his fourth major championship. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Lutz Fan and Steel, sporting director for City. They have a lot to determine here over the next several months because they're not going to make it either. And so they've got to figure out what does this team look like in year four and what is ownership going to do moving forward, and for that matter, Lutz Fan and Steel, to make sure that their fans stay hyped, on board. Still a fun place to go, but you got to win, and you got to give the fans some hope and something to pull for. We'll take a look at it as they won a game the prior week, and then the momentum was cut like a knife as they lost to FC Dallas 3-0 yesterday. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. We'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star talking Big Ten football at 11:30. Bernie Miklas back for more Cardinals conversation at 11:45.
Now back to the Grape Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning on 104.1 KMOX. from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
I always appreciate and respect the attendance of Lutz Vandensteel on Sports on a Sunday morning. He's with us every Sunday at this time, 11:15. Great to be back with you. Lutz, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Tom. How's it going?
It's going great. I know that last night was not. I did watch it. 3-0 defeat at FC Dallas. You fell behind in that first half, and then the second half they added two more. Just your overall thoughts on the contest.
Yeah, you're a lucky man that you didn't watch it, to be honest. You know, it was a game against the Dallas team, which haven't won one game before at home, which is not a great team at the moment after their own issues. And I think we started from the first few minutes on pretty well, hit the crossbar. Marcel Hartl after a few minutes. But once we conceded that goal mid through the first half, after that, you know, I have to use some strong words today. I honestly thought it was disgraceful. I thought it was embarrassing. And the way, if we play like that, for me, it's not understandable that you play last week against a much better team like Dallas Portland, and you work hard, you play well, you create chances, you look like you want to be on the field, and you put on a real contest, and then a week later, you literally looks. I mean, I'll tell you, Tom. I feel so sorry for the people who traveled there, and out of their own money and had to watch that, because it just was literally, yeah. It was a disgrace after the first goal. There was no energy. There was no fight, and. Yeah, it's simply not good enough. You know, we have a huge number of players who are on options. I think they should be smart enough to know that they're playing for their contracts, they're playing for their future. But the way we performed yesterday, I think that was a clear sign that if players don't want to be here, we need to change. And I thought it will be a busy July transfer window again, where we do our needs, and we're getting players in who will make us better. But for the January, looking ahead, I think the players need to understand, you know, this is it's professional sports. We're here to win. We're not here to stand around and jog around and don't put the work right in and don't sprint. As I said, I don't want to rave even more. It just was not good enough, and there will be some hard conversations this week.
Well, I've never known you to sugarcoat anything, that's for sure, and that is about as plain and simple as you can make it. I did catch the game from the 68th minute, I would say, on, is when I had it on in the living room and I was watching. It was 1-0 at that time, and I saw the two Dallas goals, and it was very disappointing. Who is that on outside of the players? Is this squarely on the players? David Critchley, what are the conversations like with him after something like that? I know how much you believe in him.
Well, if you look at this game yesterday, and I repeat that, what happened last week was a very similar team. And then again, you know, they excuse we have so many players out. Yeah, we have many players out, but these players who did very well last week, they definitely have the quality to put another performance on yesterday against Australian team, and it was not the case. So, David, you know, we had a good training week. The coach is working hard, so I really need to put a full protection there over the coaching staff. There's nothing they could have done better. There could have been no better preparation. I also have to say ownership puts a lot of effort in that the players have everything what they need. You know, they are sometimes even too spoiled, in my opinion. And then you're getting, as a return, you're getting a performance like that. It just annoys me, as you can hear. So it's accountability. You know, it's easy as a player to be upset when you're walking in the changing room and you're sitting in there like a little mouse and feel sorry for yourself. But go out there and fight. And if you lose and you fight, that's okay. You can't win every game. But just lying down and do nothing and just really, yeah, basically give up too early, that's not what we're here for. The only player for me who had a reasonable game was Roman Bürki. Everybody else on the field can do much better than that, was below par. And yeah, that's the just a very simple and truthful summary of that game yesterday in Texas.
So we can expect some change in this upcoming in this transfer window and pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, you know that we signed Falufal. We also brought Orozco up now as a youngster, but this week we will definitely have a few more players coming in. For sure, but again, that's you know, that's what happens right now. That's players also which should be here more on a future term. That's young players with potential, and I do not. I said that last week to you. I can't imagine that a player like Falufal should not be where the pressure comes on and he rescue our season. There is players out there who played years and years in European football at the top level. There is players here at 28, 29 years old who have a lot of experience. So it's not the young players, the top talents who are coming in who should actually carry their team. It should be the guys who are out there, who are on good contracts, who play the top level. That's the guys who should actually carry the team and actually should carry the younger players.
We've seen Orozco play, and we've talked about him, Yaziel Orozco. As for Fall, 6'4", athletic center back, sounds, and young. 21 years old. Sounds like somebody that really could make an impact.
Yeah, player we need. You know, it's very difficult to find a left-footed center back in general. We only had one with Joachim Nielsen who had his injury crisis since the day he arrived. So to have that strong athletic player who is good in the air, who is physical, who also is very progressive when it comes to passing the ball is important. Kessler is still out. We saw yesterday Timo Baumgartl. He was not fit for 90 minutes, but he played it through. So, you know, it didn't look great at one of the goals either. But, you know, he came back after having a fracture in his leg. And we were happy, actually, that he was out on the field. But then again, there's too many little things are coming together. It was yesterday one of these moments. You score that first goal. I think the game can go a completely different way. And I'm looking forward for Falufal to arrive, hopefully as soon as possible. We're just now waiting for the last bits and pieces with the work visa. And as I said, expect a few more announcements this week.
City will be back at it Saturday night, 7:30 at Energizer Park, Y98 FM. I'll be part of the broadcast team this time around. Jen Cease will take a weekend off, and City will take on Minnesota United FC for the second time in MLS regular season play. Lutz, I look forward to seeing you this weekend, and thanks as always for your time on KMOX.
Thanks. Have a nice Sunday, Tom.
You too. Lutz Van and Steel. Open and honest as ever. Here on KMOX Radio Sports on a Sunday morning. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll update you on the Open Championship, kind of do a little whip around of some other sports going on, and dive into some Big Ten football talk with Zach Osterman, outstanding writer for the Indianapolis Star. Who's the best team in the country right now? A lot of people say it's Texas. Well, on August 30th, they will get to prove that right away, because guess who they play? In their opener, Ohio State. At Ohio State, by the way. How about that for a start? The national champions will be waiting for them. Last two national champions came out of the Big Ten, Michigan and Ohio State. Can they do three in a row? We will take a break, come back with more. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Now, back to the Grape Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning on 104.1 KMOX. From the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Well, I'll tell you what, Drew, I've heard Lutz Van and Steel on this show for a number of years now. I've never heard him like that. He used the word disgraceful about his team. He talked about his team saying, you know, don't sit there like a little mouse. Go out there and fight. Wow. Big time stuff. If you missed the interview of the sporting director for St. Louis City SC, you can find it right now on our live stream. Actually, our live stream will be replayed. You can find it right now on the Odyssey app. Later, it'll be podcast on our Sports on a Sunday Morning podcast, which is available everywhere. KMOX, the home of the Cardinals. We also had Adam Wainwright on the show. Here's a big baseball fan and soccer fan, I know that, and an outstanding college writer. He covers Indiana University for the Indianapolis Star, and here to talk some Big Ten football with us is Zach Osterman. How are you, Zach?
I'm good. I got backstories with both of those people. Lutz has followed me on Twitter since his days as a scout at Hoffenheim, although I'm not really sure why. And I probably saw Adam Wainwright pitch before anybody else listening to this program.
I remember when the Cardinals made the deal for Wainwright, and it involved, as we all know famously now, some pretty big names that went over to the Braves. We don't have to go through that whole trade. But not you, but somebody who was covering the Braves told me, beware anytime the Braves make a deal for a pitcher and they give up somebody. Well, as it turned out, it was a pretty good deal for the Cardinals.
Yeah, no, it was my grandparents lived in a very small town north of Macon, Georgia, where the Braves used to have their low A ball affiliate. And for years before they moved the team, I would go watch games there in the summer. And I remember when he was probably like 19 years old, and all he really had at that time was his fastball. But, you know, that was back when 95 seemed fast to all of us. And it was just overpowering when it was located. And I think it's probably fair to say the Braves, that's one of the few big trades John Schuerholz probably should have pulled back. So.
Yeah, that was a big one. And you love soccer. I think Lutz probably followed you because he can see those who have passion for the game. And I know he does. And I know you do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it had something to do with all my annoying Liverpool tweets. But sorry in advance to anybody listening for those.
Well, we follow you. A lot of us in the audience follow you for Big Ten. I know that primarily our audience when it comes to the Big Ten is Illinois. So I do want to start there. Illinois fans follow you to see what Indiana's up to, but also your thoughts on the Big Ten in general. Zach Osterman's with us from the Indianapolis Star. And Illinois, I think, is one of those teams that gets forgotten a little bit. Indiana had the big flashy season last year. Penn State is one of those that's been highly ranked this year. We all know about Ohio State and Michigan back-to-back national champions for the Big Ten. Oregon is Oregon. But Illinois, your initial thoughts when I tell you that Brett Bielema and the Illini will be ranked in the top 25?
Yeah, I think, you know, first just kind of like to set the conference-wide stage, it does feel like there's room for a fourth team every year. And there are going to be some years where it's, you know, it's four of five of, you know, USC, Oregon, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State. But, you know, in the past, it always kind of felt like because of the smaller playoff, because of the divisional structure, that it was like there was room for like maybe two teams. And that's simplistic. But because Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State just had to beat each other up all season, every season, there was room for like maybe two teams to really kind of rise to the top of the Big Ten. I think because we got rid of divisions, because we have the expanded playoff, which is going to expand again, and because frankly, more power and influence and, you know, stuff that's going to influence things like strength of schedule is more centralized now. There's room for, I would say, four really, really good teams, four playoff caliber teams at a minimum most of the time in the Big Ten. And I think you see, obviously, last year, Indiana's able to move into that bracket. They may be able to compete at that level again this year. But when a lot of people talk about Illinois, and it's strange because there is kind of this disconnect in the national narrative that a lot of people want to give Illinois credit for what they did last year, which they should. They went, you know, they won 10 games, they beat South Carolina in their bowl game. You know, they have brought, I would say, an uncommonly large percentage of their production back, you know, at a time when obviously rosters, even with good teams, tend to fluctuate more than they used to. Illinois has managed to stay steady, and obviously at some key positions. In particular, I'm thinking about quarterback Luke Altmaier. But then people also want to say that Illinois is the next Indiana, and it's sort of like that. It really... That feels most disrespectful to me to Illinois, which is just sort of to say this was a 10-win team a year ago, nine, even if we see bowl games differently now, that's still a 9-win team in the Big Ten. That's still a team that I think won at Nebraska. It's a team that, you know, not unlike Indiana, probably had a bit of a ceiling. You know, if you think about the way the Illinois-Penn State game goes, the way the Indiana-Ohio State game goes. But Indiana was just such an extreme sort of projectable and statistical outlier. To say that Illinois doing something approximating what Indiana did last year, you know, 10, 11 wins, making the playoff, which I think is absolutely possible for Illinois, I mean, frankly, just feels disrespectful to what Illinois has proven itself capable of over the last, you know, 12 to 24 months. Like, this group is a group that knows how to win, and it's a group that's gotten old together, which is very difficult to do in modern college football. You've obviously got, you know, a seasoned and longtime head coach in Brett Bielema. If you are looking for comparisons to IU, I think that's maybe one that really helps. Is, you know, I think part of what really got Indiana into the right sort of groove last year was they had a head coach that was just never going to be overwhelmed or inexperienced or, you know, sort of taken aback by what was in front of him. I think Illinois has got that in Bielema. But if Illinois wins 11 games, and I haven't looked at their schedule in great depth, but if Illinois wins 11 games and goes to the playoff, no one should treat that like a surprise. That's just kind of the natural next evolution for a team that has had success and has been able to sort of retain talent as it has built on that success.
And if I look at, let's say that the top six, and we'll get back to the top dogs in this conference here in a minute, but the top six include Indiana and Illinois. When I look at the next six in the Big Ten, I see some big football brands. I mean, just some heavyweights through the years. Iowa, Nebraska, USC, Washington. You can even throw Wisconsin in there if they could get that high into that middle six. Some big brands. I mean, the fact that they're all down that far, one, what does that mean? And two, which one of them could actually rise up into the upper?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Upper echelon, could they?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of, to kind of go with the first question first, honestly, it feels like a little bit of a precursor to why I'm a little bit skeptical of the ultimate idea of a college football super league, which is, you know, if we get to a place where there are just 24 teams or 28 teams or even 30 teams, I understand why, you know, if you're looking at it from sort of like a coldly network media rights perspective, that's a natural, you know, direction of travel. Somebody's got to go 5-7 in that Super League. And, you know, is Michigan going to be happy? Is, you know, maybe go even a rung down? Is an Auburn going to be happy? Or is, you know, an Oregon going to be okay with winding up in a situation where, you know, somebody's got to be 6-6. Somebody's got to be 4-8. And it's not, you know, you don't get kind of the bottom half of a more traditional conference to feast on. I think what you see with some of these programs, and, you know, we can go, you know, team by team in terms of like what's happened to USC, not being able to figure out its defense, Wisconsin maybe kind of getting away from its identity with Luke Fickell trying to bring in the air raid and so forth. But some of it is also just, you know, if you're going to centralize more and more of your talent, more of your money, more of your resources, players, coaches, all of it into smaller conferences, then teams are going to struggle a little bit more. There's, you know, there's not room for Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Oregon and USC and Washington and Wisconsin. And then, you know, like, I don't know, like a you know, an upstart like Indiana or whoever, Purdue, Illinois, just fill in a less, you know, a less sort of traditionally prominent, a less traditionally prominent program. There's not room for all of those teams to do well. And so I think that's something that I'm curious to see how the Big Ten and probably the SEC too navigate that over the next few years, and how that maybe potentially reframes some of the discussion of super conferences. Because I think some of these big football brands, as you talk about, are going to be looking at it and saying, you know, this suddenly, it's harder to be a big brand in a bigger pool of big brands, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But in terms of those teams next year, and I might be proven wrong on this, there are a couple. Number one is Wisconsin, and it's just kind of the idea that, like, Fickell tried to make the air raid thing work. It didn't. I think they're going to try and pivot back to more of what has traditionally made, you know, Wisconsin, you know, power offense. You can do that in a modern way. You can have a power offense that runs out of the shotgun, or that maybe uses a little bit of tempo, but something that just reflects that program's you know, tradition a little bit more. The other one that, and you know, when I say sort of a season of forward progress, I'm not necessarily saying they'll make the playoff, but I am intrigued by Washington. They've got Demond Williams, who looked really good by the end of last season as a young, very mobile quarterback. They've got Jonah Coleman back, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me. They're up in my office, but I actually, when I put together a preseason poll, I picked Jonah Coleman as my Big Ten Player of the Year, because Washington is facing, I think, the average Big Ten run defense rank of Washington's opponents is somewhere between 11th and 12th. If you look at last year's numbers going forward to this year, and I understand that things change, rosters change, but we know Coleman's a high-level running back in college. Now you pair him with a potentially dynamic young quarterback that looked really good by the end of last season in Demond Williams, and you've maybe got a schedule that's a little bit more vulnerable to that kind of offense. I think Washington could be a team that, if they can get a little bit of wind in their sails, and I think if memory serves, they have a slightly stronger start, or a slightly more navigable start where they could build some strength, build some momentum. That's the kind of team that I think you could look up and say, man, they're 7-1 on Halloween. We didn't see that coming. I think Washington's a team I'm going to have an eye on.
Wow, interesting. Last thing for Zach Osterman, Bernie Miklas coming up in about 5 minutes. Putting you on the spot a bit, but when you make your predictions, who comes out of the Big Ten into the college football playoff, and can Indiana do it again?
I think, and I didn't have my ballot right in front of me either. I think I had Ohio State. I think I had Penn State. I want to say defeating Ohio State in Indianapolis, just because obviously Penn State's going to have some pieces moving around on defense, new coordinator, but Jim Knowles, of course, you know, his resume speaks for itself. Penn State has the steadiness at quarterback, which is so important. They've got a dynamic playmaker in Nick Singleton. They've, you know, you're always going to count on Penn State to have athletes and you know, genuine talent on the offensive and defensive lines. Can Indiana specifically go to the playoff? Because I think you're certainly looking at a group for me that if we're talking about who's kind of in that playoff mix, at least as much as we know these rosters in the preseason, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon. I think Illinois will be in there. I wouldn't be shocked if there's at least one of a USC or a Washington, somebody that, again, just gains a little bit of momentum, hits a soft spot in their schedule, and we get to the end of October and they only have one loss. You know, so somebody kind of from that group that we were just talking about. I do think Indiana can be a playoff contender again. I think Indiana's schedule sets up really well for us to kind of gauge what this team is. They've got the three manageable non-conference games. They should win all of those. And then their first big test, I think it helps that it's at home. Then after that comes Iowa, and then they have a bye week. So there's a natural kind of pause right there after two big games. But also maybe if we're looking at the four, you know, toughest games on paper preseason, the more winnable of those two of those four, if that makes sense. And so if they come out of that 3-2, I think we're talking about 7 or 8 wins. If they come out of it 4-1, I think we're talking about maybe, you know, one of the teams that's the best of the rest. If they come out of it 5-0, then a bye week, then they're at Oregon, then I think we're starting to ask, does this team have a playoff ceiling again? And then they go to Oregon. Then they've got a couple home games. They got a road game at Maryland that, at least again, on paper, should be manageable. Then they go to Penn State in early November. And so the season kind of ebbs and flows nicely, I think, from Indiana's perspective, where you don't have this massive clump of games that are just really, really hard to deal with. But I think it also ebbs and flows nicely from the perspective of those of us trying to analyze what Indiana is, because we're going to get kind of a nice, progressively tougher set of tests as the fall wears on.
Really well explained. Can't wait. 5 weeks away from college football. Zach Osterman will be all over it for the Indianapolis Star. Always a pleasure. Great to have you on KMOX. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you, my friend.
Good to talk to you. We come back and Bernie Miklas. We break down the St. Louis Cardinals next.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Some show here. We're going to go 9 minutes now with Bernie Miklas, the great Bernie Miklas. Man, it is always good to have you on the program. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I wish we had some sunshiny type things to talk about today, but apparently
I'll give you one.
Yeah, all right, what do you got?
I'll give you one. The Heim Bloom era right. is underway. It already has been, but I'm as of last night, I am ready to go. It's time to rearrange what the Cardinals have. It's time to look ahead to 26. I think that has already been underway, but let's be real here. This team is, you know, they overachieved. Now they're back to what they are.
100%. You know, and I think what you just said was something I feel, and you know, some of my friends who are really good writers around the country feel the same way. People that I talk to feel the same way. You know, there comes a point in time where you sense that it's not going to happen. You're thinking, well, it's just not going to happen. But they're only yada yada games out of wild card spot. But look. It's time to just have, you know, like square up the reality, face up the reality. I mean, if you go back and see, I prefer using the larger sample sizes. Yeah. I mean, we all know the Cardinals have lost 4 out of 5. We know that they're 4-10 in their last 14. But if you go all the way back to May the 30th, they're 19-24, which doesn't sound awful, but that's 11th in the National League. But the thing that jumps out at me, because run differential, I think run differential almost always, not always, but almost always lets you know how good your team is. And if you go all the way back to May 30th, like I said, where they were, you know, they're 19-24, they're a minus 41 in run differential. That's just not a good team. I mean, it's flat out a bad team, you know, and I'm not saying everything is bad, Tom, but if you give me, you know, one more minute here. Since, again, May 30 is the day I circle on the calendar because it gives us a larger sample size. If you go back to May 30th, I mean, this team's got the worst starting pitching ERA in the majors. The bullpen's fine, but the worst starting pitching ERA in the majors. And the offense ranks 21st in runs, 25th in batting average, 25th in on base, 25th in slug, 26th in OPS. Like if this is kind of like the blind taste test that they used to do. Like, you didn't know who the identity of the team was. You just said, well, what if I told you, let me give you a set of numbers. What would you say? Is that a playoff contender? The answer would be 100% of everybody who heard those numbers would say, no, of course not. So, yeah, it's time to just face up to it and get busy and sell. The other thing I would do, I don't know how quick to do it. You got to get J.J. Weatherholt up here. It'd be great to get him, a 6 weeks, 8 weeks of experience, which will only make him hit the ground running in 2026. You got to make some decisions like that, too.
There's a question on YouTube here that this person, Philip, is all in on the Bloom era, but why don't the Cardinals just dismiss Mo? He should be done too, because, they did this transition for a reason, Bernie. They have Bloom available to go do his job of canvassing the minor leagues. Mo's job is not just to make trades and sign people. Mo runs the entire operation. So, you got a lot of people that work for the Cardinals. Yeah. That have to understand what's happening here moving forward. What are you telling me? You want Chaim Bloom to stop all of his minor league trips and come back and work in the office?
Let's not have tantrums about this. Mo's on his way out, period. And look, if they were going to do that, the time to do it was to let Chaim Bloom take over last offseason. But this job down below the minors and the player development system and all the infrastructure and the coaching instructor, that was a massive project. For some reason, some people still don't get it. I mean, it's a massive project. Chaim Bloom's had to go out and hire people, and those people have hired other people. And they're checking on a lot of things, including their facilities and technology, and they're evaluating what they have. I mean, Chaim Bloom and Rob Serfolio play a major role even at this deadline because, they're identifying what they have in the minor leagues and basically prospects and like, no, we don't want to trade this guy. Okay, we might trade that guy if someone comes calling. There's no need to have tantrums and just say, well, like, fire everybody now. I mean, all of this is in transition and it's going to happen soon enough.
Chad, when I said that earlier, said that seems like an assumption, not factual, that Bloom would have been involved in the draft and the deadline, et cetera. I'm just telling you.
Right.
He also said that Bloom doesn't walk on water. I agree. He doesn't. Red Sox fans would be the first to tell you that. They don't like it. But if you look at the Red Sox, that organization's pretty good and is built for the future. And he has a chance to, after an excellent run with the Rays and a strange one with the Red Sox, redeem himself here. That's how I see it.
Well, the people that would just automatically, before doing any research, any homework whatsoever, would just like in effect dismiss him as a failure in Boston. They have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, there was a lot of stuff going on there, including an owner who changed his. The owner said, we're hiring you for this. We want the Tampa Bay model. We want cost efficiency. We want a great minor league system. Our minor league system is terrible. Your number one job is to fix that. And we want a great farm system again. Did Chaim Bloom do that? 100%. They were 28th or 29th in the player development rankings when he took over. And this year, with many of the players he drafted, this year they're like, they were in the top three. I think they were even second in their farm system. So he did it. But the owner kept changing his mind about what he wanted. And it's like, well, we want you to do this. No, let's sign Mookie Betts. Oh, Mookie Betts turned it down. Get rid of him right now. Get rid of him. Over and over and over again, just flip-flopping all over the place. And the other thing, and this is the number one thing people need to understand about Chaim Bloom. He was not allowed to hire his own people in Boston, which actually he never should have taken the job. Because if you're going to take a job of that magnitude in that shark tank in that town, you got to bring your own people in. You can't be surrounded by guys that are going to stab you in the back because they were loyal to the previous general manager. So I lose patience with all this stuff. If you look at the way Tampa Bay, what they've done with their payroll and how they've overachieved constantly. And some people will say, well, you know, I haven't won a World Series. Well, I think when you're like 30th in payroll every damn year, you're not going to win the World Series, right? But you are going to be able to be a team that gets to the playoff and a team that's going to win 90 plus games. So, Tom, you know, I've been thinking about this weekend. See, I'm all fired up now, man. Sorry. But Tampa Bay and Boston are the model player development systems, you know, especially Tampa Bay. Here's where, all right, there's a great story going on in baseball. Hasn't been talked about enough. It just hasn't been talked about enough. And now people are starting to pay attention. The Milwaukee Brewers are unbelievable. And you know what Chaim Bloom's job's going to be before? This is important for all of us to understand this. Don't worry about the payroll. Don't worry about, well, Bill DeWitt's got to spend $300 million or this or that. Don't worry about, well, when can we win a World Series? Well, you know, when can we do this? When are we going to do that? How soon is this going to? Don't worry about all that. You know what the number one objective is? Be better than the Milwaukee Brewers, because they are a baseball miracle with the payroll they have and the market size they have. They're going to be in the playoffs for the seventh time in the last 8 years. You look at where they are right now, they're clearly like a top three, top four team in baseball, and they do it. It's amazing how they do it. I don't know how they do it. They have the smartest front office in baseball is how they do it. Chaim Bloom's challenge is to make the Cardinals as smart as the Brewers and how they go about things. Put all the other stuff aside, okay? That's big picture stuff that will sort itself out over time. The first thing you need to have, get smarter. Get as smart as the Milwaukee Brewers, and then you're going to have something.
100%. Bernie Miklas on KMOX. Appreciate you, my man. I'll see you soon.
All right, I'm going to calm down now. Thank you.
I love it. I love it so much. The Gas House game coming up tomorrow, and Bernie will be with us with Holly Marmel on Tuesday. We'll see you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.